to thine own self be true. Do you guys recognize that quote? Do you remember Jay Leno? He would have these little segments in which he would do jaywalking, in which he would go out into the streets, and he would ask people on the streets basic questions and see what they knew. Usually not a lot. And every now and then he would do it on, like, Bible stuff. And so he went out one time and he asked, you know, just tell me one of the commandments. What's one of God's commandments? And most of the people said, well, God helps those who help themselves. It's not in the Bible at all. It's the antithesis of the Bible. Or he did this thing where he said, all right, I'm going to tell you a quote, and you tell me either in the Bible or not in the Bible. And it was, so he said, to thine own self be true. People are like, that sounds like it's in the Bible. It's not. Do you guys remember where it's from? To thine own self be true. Who does? I'm not going to call on you, but to thine own self be true. It's from Shakespeare. It's in Hamlet. It's from the character Polonius, who's giving this advice to his son. And it's ironic advice. Because, of course, this play Hamlet is a great tragedy. And many of the characters, Polonius and his family indeed, they are completely true to themselves. And it leads them to absolute destruction. It leads to their destruction. But we hold up this line, right? To thine own self be true. Just follow your heart. Believe in yourself. You do you. The problem is, and this is the great genius of Shakespeare, is that we're a lot more like these characters in Hamlet than we like to admit. And if we follow these lines to their end, to thine own self be true, it leads to our destruction. The path that that leads to is the path to hell. It's what Christ came to save us from. It's the whole message of the gospel, that Christ came to save us from ourselves, that we're fallen. Yes, we were created good. We were created and we are at our core deeply good, but we are also fallen. And it's only Christ who can save us from that pit of fallenness and keep us out of there. And that we're called, when you receive those ashes on your forehead on Ash Wednesday, you were called not to believe in yourself, not to be true to yourself, but we were called to repent and believe in the gospel. They were called, and we took on these penances in which we're able to deny ourselves. That the message of the gospel is to die to yourself. To die to yourself. Because unless we die to ourselves, we cannot be reborn in Him. And that all the evil, all the darkness, that comes from within ourselves. It's from our own will that the darkness which can destroy us comes from, not from something outside. So we're called to repent and believe in the gospel. Because in the end, I don't know myself. That we remain a mystery to ourselves. That we can echo those words of St. Paul. Do you remember when he writes that he doesn't understand why he does the things that he does and why he can't do the things that he can do, that he wants to do? We remain in our fallenness a mystery to ourselves. And it's only in the light of Christ that he reveals us to ourselves. And that all the darkness of the universe, all of it, is within sight of you. All the most destructive things and the most horrific darkness is within you. But because you were reborn in Christ, all of the great light and the power of that light is also within sight of you as well. And it's Christ who leads us from the hell that can be ourselves out of that into him. That I don't know myself except in light of him. Christianity is this amazing thing because there's that light and darkness within us. It can hold up at the same time that there's a greatness within each human person. There's a dignity within every human life, but also there's this fallenness and capacity for destruction and for horror within each one of us. That to hold those two things at once, those two truths, and that we'll never understand the true greatness that God has made us for. You'll never be able to see the beauty that's within you except in the light of Christ. That you're far more beautiful and valuable than you could ever imagine, but you'll never see that, you'll never experience that except in the light of Christ. And you have much more capacity for destruction and the capacity to bring darkness into this world. And you'll never understand that or be able to see that except in the light of Christ. Both of these are within us. The whole world, the whole universe of light and darkness is within your soul and mine. All of it is. But without faith in him, we just don't see things as they really are. We can't. We're limited, we're created, we're finite. We can't see all of the darkness and the light. And in fact, much of the darkness and the light is that which we cannot see. And without grace, without God's grace, my fallen instinct doesn't respond well to things. That my intuition, my natural human impulse, is usually against God's will and not for it. We think we know things, but there's so much we don't. God took Abram, right, outside, and he pointed up, Abram who would become Abraham. He told him to look up, and what did Abram see? What did he see when he looked up? He didn't see any stars. God took him out and told him to look up into the sky. It wasn't night yet. It's only later on, a couple verses later, that we hear, and the darkness came, and then it was fully dark. It was as much daytime as is right now. So what did Abram see? Maybe a clear blue sky, maybe some clouds. He couldn't see any stars. He knew that there was light there and he couldn't see it. And so God was calling him to place his faith within the Lord God. And that soon after, when the darkness did come, and it was this darkness which was deep and terrorizing, and it engulfed Abram. What was his human desire? What was his human instinct in the midst of that? What's yours in the midst of fear and darkness when it begins to engulf your life? You want to flee, you want to run from it. What is the Lord asking him to do here? To remain there, to stay there, to stand there. And it's in the midst of that that God forges his covenant with Abraham. The transfiguration. What do Peter, John, and James see? They see Jesus and his full glory, his full divinity shining forth What does Peter, in his human instinct, want to do? Well, he wants to stay, as do all of us when we have a mountaintop experience with God in prayer. We don't want to leave there. We want that to be the whole Christian life. This is like Peter saying, this is finally what I signed up for. And that's what we want the Christian life to be. But the Lord isn't asking him to stay there, but to follow him. To follow him to the cross. But here, these apostles are given a glimpse into heaven itself. They're able to see in this moment the full glory of Christ, so that when they arrive at the darkness of the cross, their faith will not be crushed. All of Lent is a collision course. All of Lent is a collision course in which all the powers of light and darkness collide at the cross. And it's in the midst of that, at the cross itself, in which God wants us to follow him there, so that you, in the crosses that you have in your life, which are real, and the crosses that will come in your life, that you might experience that place as a place of love. That when we look to the cross, it becomes the final plea of both the powers of light and the powers of darkness. That through the eyes of faith, and only through that, are we able to follow Christ to the cross and remain there with him. Because my human instinct, if I'm just following my own self, I'm fleeing from the cross every time, and so are you. Our human instinct is to follow the path of comfort and protection, and that's not the cross. We become an enemy of the cross. But to experience and to find in the cross this place in which God loves us so that we might embrace it. That the cross is a place of love. There are crosses in your life that they may go to the very end. But those are the places where God shows his love to you, where he reveals the depth of his love. And there is more light that we cannot see in the cross than anywhere else. And so we don't just foolishly believe in ourselves or be true to ourselves, but instead we repent and believe in the gospel, so that we may embrace the cross and find it in a place of life, of light, and of love.